We are talking about Easter Saturday today. Or what about Easter Saturday? Last week, most of you were here, or if you weren't here, you were probably somewhere else, gathering for our Easter services, one of the most probably important celebrations of the Christian calendar in a year. Here at Lighthouse, we had our Tenebrae service on Thursday night, we had our Good Friday service on Friday morning, and then we had our Easter Sunday, remembering the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But have you ever wondered why it was only 3 days? Like, why didn't God just raise Jesus from the dead as soon as he died? Well, the most common explanation for that is that 3 days made it undeniable that Jesus did actually die. It wasn't some trickery or anything like that before he was raised back to life. But if that is the reason, why didn't God make it longer? Why didn't he make it 4, 5, or 6 days or even a week? I mean, how much more miraculous would that have been than just 3 days? Well, aside from that, there is actually nothing in Scripture that explains why it was only 3 days that Jesus remained dead, other than that's what God had already chosen. And that's what God had spoken to the Old Testament prophets, like Hosea. And as well, as we know, that is what Jesus prophesied and fulfilled about himself during his ministry. 3 days. We celebrate Good Friday. We celebrate Easter Sunday. But what about Easter Saturday? That day between the death and the resurrection. That long pause of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Why don't we gather on Easter Saturday? Why don't we celebrate in anticipation of the resurrection that we know is coming? Well, the disciples, back in the moment that Jesus was crucified, didn't celebrate Easter Saturday because everything for them in that moment had gone wrong. And the scriptures say that not only had it gone wrong, that all of Jesus' disciples had left him and fled. Even though these were the same disciples that had just recently proclaimed their belief in Jesus, they still didn't know why Jesus had to die. They were uncertain about whether he was even coming back. They saw him die on the cross. He said he was coming back, but they weren't sure. The life of pure bliss that they had following Jesus, large crowds, miracles, had now become pain, frustration, uncertainty, and the looming questions of whether it had all been a waste of time. Jesus said he was the Son of God, but if that was true, why would God let this happen? Just like the disciples, sometimes I find myself asking that same question. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but why does he allow difficult times to take place in my life? As many of you here are aware and have been faithfully praying for our family, which we're very grateful for, the last couple months that we've been going through have been a difficult time. We've had my mum's court case, which took place a couple months ago. Our family car, the transmission, just gave up one day driving up the expressway. We also, over Easter, had the anniversary of my mum's passing. We also had her birthday as well. Shamila's work hours were reduced, and now many of you know that her work has ceased. And all of these things have slowly compounded over the last 2 months and have led us to ask God, why? Why is he allowing these difficult things to take place in our life? Now, as Colin's already prayed this morning, I know many of you here this morning are facing difficult times in your life, pains, frustrations, and uncertainties that maybe have led you to ask God why. Maybe it's terminal illness like cancer, or health development issues, problems like arthritis, dementia, tumors, the fact that your body is becoming frail and fragile and it's failing in areas, the loss of a loved one, a spouse or a child, the loss of income, the rise of rent, mortgage payments, the overwhelming debt, the cost of bills, the relationship breakdowns, divorce, breakups, conflict between family and friends. And the list could go on and on. And it might just be one of these things, or it could be many of these things that have led you to ask God, why? Why has He allowed this to take place in my life? Now, the good news for us today is that Easter Saturday wasn't the first time that the disciples had found themselves facing difficulty in their lives. And so today I want to take you back to the passage of Matthew chapter 14. So if you've got your Bibles with you, you can open them up to Matthew 14, but it should also be on the screen if we can bring that up. So Matthew 14 verses 22 through to 32. And it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Just before this passage that we're going to look at today, Jesus had been in his ministry for about 1 year. Working alongside his disciples were working alongside him, doing numerous miracles, from turning water into wine, healing the sick. And just before the passage that I've read for you this morning, he had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Things seemed to be traveling quite well for the disciples. They were going quite smooth, participating in miracles, witnessing Jesus' popularity grow with large crowds starting to follow them. So when Jesus tells them those words of "get into the boat and go before him to the other side," while he dismisses the crowds, of course the disciples listen to him. They oblige. They probably jump in the boat and they're talking about the incredible miracle that they just participated in. Maybe even wondering, "I wonder what miracles we're going to be involved in on the other side." Little did they know what was coming. And as we combined the accounts of this passage as well from Matthew, Mark and John, we see that as they headed off on the boat, traveling across the Sea of Galilee, the winds start to pick up. Waves are splashing into the boat now. Some of these disciples were seasoned fishermen, yet they were struggling, rowing against the wind and the waves that were now violently battering against them. They are a considerable distance from the land, tired, fighting the waves and wind for kilometres. If the boat was to flip now, they would probably drown. But Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat, to go to the other side. Did Jesus know that the storm was coming? Of course he knew the storm was coming. So why did Jesus allow them to head off into the storm? To face frustration, uncertainty, pain, and maybe even death? Well, throughout the Bible, we see that God allows difficult situations in our lives for two reasons. And I want to be clear here that I don't believe that God creates or causes pain, suffering, or frustration, or uncertainty in anyone's life. These are all the effects of the fall and sin corrupting God's perfect creation. But as we're going to see, I do believe that God can use these difficult times that we face for his good and for his glory. So why does God allow difficult times in our lives? Well, firstly, God allows these difficult times in our lives when we need correcting in the way we are living. A couple examples from Scripture is Jonah and the whale story. Jonah, who ran away from God's calling. And things happened in his life. He was thrown into the ocean, swallowed by a whale, in order to bring him back onto the path that God had for him. Or King David, who committed adultery and murder, and the tragic things that happened in his life. All of these because of the choices that they had made to disobey and turn away from God. He allowed situations in their life to draw them back into right relationship with him. And sometimes they were frustrating. Sometimes they were painful. Sometimes they were felt uncertain. Yet in all of these times, God was with them, even when they felt like they might have been deserted. The second reason that God allows difficult times is for perfecting. God allows these difficult times when we need perfecting in our life. Or better put, when God is helping us to grow in our faith and understanding of him. We see this in particular in the disciples. Numerous situations where they were frustrated or uncertain about what was happening, what was Jesus doing, or even what was he teaching. With the parables, numerous times they questioned, "We don't understand." Or when they tried to cast out the demon from the possessed boy and were unable to. Or the time when Jesus was sleeping in the boat and the storm rose up. Like our passage today, when the disciples faced their second storm in the boat and now Jesus wasn't with them. And of course, as we reflected on last week, Jesus' crucifixion and that long pause of the Easter Saturday. Although these times were difficult for them to face, what we learn as we read through these stories is those times were also when they grew the most in their understanding of who Jesus was and what he had come to accomplish. So when we are facing difficult times of pain, frustration, suffering, or uncertainty in our lives, the first thing we should do is ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us, is this a time in our life where we need correction, where maybe we need to turn back to God? Or is this a time of perfecting in my life, where God is deepening my faith and my understanding of him? For the disciples today, they were in a time of perfecting. See, Jesus had asked them to travel ahead of him across the lake. They had obeyed, allowing them to end up in the middle of this difficult situation, which is where Jesus met them. And I mean, sure, the disciples would have been wishing that Jesus had come earlier, before they started freaking out, before they were tired from rowing. But Jesus came at the exact time that he intended. He came when it seemed that all human hope of surviving was gone. Tired from rowing, too far from land to swim, in the middle of the night, barely being able to see, they weren't expecting anyone to come for them. Yet this is when Jesus met them. And we see it in verse 25. He came to them walking on the sea. Which shows us that God uses difficult times to come close to us. In the midst of their hopelessness, fearing that their boat would be destroyed by the ferocious sea, Jesus met them walking on the very thing that was bringing pain, uncertainty, and frustration in their life. We often get wowed at the fact that Jesus was walking on water. That's incredible. No one has ever done that. But by being wowed by that miracle, we often miss the point that Jesus was trying to make by walking on water. He could have very easily floated in the air. He could have actually just grabbed another boat and headed out with them. He could have done anything he wanted to meet up with the disciples. Yet he willingly chose their difficult situation as a stepping stone to come closer to them. And the same is true for us today. Jesus uses these difficult situations in our lives, like reduced hours at work, a serious surgery coming up, a terminal illness, the loss of a loved one, the unexpected rent increase, as stepping stones to come closer to us. But as you're probably sitting all there, you're thinking, there's a problem with that. Because even though Jesus is coming to meet us in the middle of these difficult situations that we are all facing, we find it hard to recognize and perceive him, just as the disciples did. In the next verse, what did they do when they saw him? They were terrified and they said, "It's a ghost," crying out in fear. The disciples in the moment were so overwhelmed by frustration, pain, uncertainty, and fear that even as Jesus showed up right in front of them, they did not recognize him at all. Kind of reminds me of a modern parable that you might have heard of called The Drowning Man. And it goes like this. There was a man who was stuck on this roof in the middle of a flood, a devout Christian, and he was praying to God, "God, please save me." And a few hours later, a rowboat came past and the people said, "Jump in the boat, we can save you." And he said, "No, I'm praying to God and he will save me." And the boat obviously moved on. Later, a motorboat comes past, a little dinghy, and the people say, "Jump in the boat, we can save you." And the man says, "No, I'm praying to God. He will save me. I have faith." And then later again still, a helicopter comes and the pilot yells down to him, "Grab onto the rope. I will save you." And the man turns to the pilot and says, "I'm praying to God. He will save me. I have faith." And the helicopter left. And then the water rose. And the man drowned. When he got to heaven, though, he asked God, "God, I was a man of faith and I was praying out to you to save me. Why didn't you save me?" And God says to him, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more do you expect?" When we are overwhelmed by our difficult situations, we become blinded to the presence and work that God is doing in our lives. Just like that man stuck on the roof. He didn't see what God was providing for him to be saved. Just like the disciples seeing a ghost walking on the water. But even though they couldn't see Jesus or see how God was saving him, that didn't deny the fact that God was still at work in their lives. And sometimes that's why we need a reminder of where our faith is placed and who we have placed our faith in. And that's exactly what the disciples got when Jesus noticed that they were blinded by their situation. He says to them, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." You can only imagine what it would have been like for the disciples in the midst of their difficult situation. The storm is still going on, yet there would have been this great sense of peace. Almost like you see in the movies sometimes where everything, chaos is all happening behind them, yet the person is so fixated on the other person in the scene and it's just silence or lovely lullaby music in the background. And that's almost what it feels like here. Even though the pain, the frustration, the uncertainty was still there, but because Jesus had come, they were no longer overwhelmed by fear. See, God uses difficult times to deepen our faith. This was the purpose of the difficulty all along. This is why Jesus allowed them to go ahead into the storm alone, so that their faith in him might be strengthened, so that they might know that even when it seemed that Jesus didn't care or wasn't even present with them physically, that they could still trust in him and his words, which is true for us today as well. In the midst of the difficult times that we face, Jesus promises to meet us right where we are. Honestly, he might actually already be next to us, but we just don't recognize him because we are being blinded by our fear, which, as Colin mentioned in his prayer as well, and also Peter gives us a perfect example of, is not just something that we can do and just sit passively. We need to be active. And that's what we see Peter do. And if it wasn't a miracle enough that Jesus had walked to them on the water, Peter turns to him and he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." And he said to Peter, "Come." And Peter gets out the boat and he walks on the water towards Jesus. But again, he sees the wind and the waves and he becomes afraid. Peter started full of faith, obeying Jesus' command, taking action. He walked on water just as Jesus was. But even in the midst of this incredible miracle that he was participating in, the circumstances around him made his faith in Jesus waver. And because he took his eyes off of Jesus and what Jesus had asked him to do, what happens? He begins to sink into the sea. But as he's sinking and realizes he's sinking, he cries out to Jesus, showing him that he had faith, that Jesus, he knew Jesus could rescue him. And so the next time we are questioning or find ourselves facing a difficult time in our life and are questioning, why has God allowed this to take place? Remember that God allows difficult times in our lives for two reasons. For correction, where we ask God, "Is this a difficult time in my life because I have turned away from you in some area?" Or we can ask God, "How are you trying to bring me back into a right relationship with you through this situation?" The second reason is perfection, where we ask, is this difficult time happening in my life because God wants to deepen my understanding and my faith in Him? And when we can ask, what might God be trying to teach me through this difficult time? We also need to remember that God uses difficult times in our lives as stepping stones to come near to us. Where can you see God working in the difficult time that you all might be facing right now? Or maybe, how are you being blinded to God's presence and work in your life during this difficult time? And if this difficult time has made your faith waver, what can you do to remind yourself of God's faithfulness in your life? But what does all this have to do with Easter Saturday? Well, I believe Easter Saturday represents those difficult times that we face in our lives. When we gather as a church and remember Easter, we know that Jesus was perfect. So when we remember his death and resurrection at Easter, where he atoned for our sins once and for all, the truth is that on Easter Saturday, nothing happened for Jesus. He died on Friday. He stayed dead until he rose again on Easter Sunday. But for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we follow his example of dying and rising. Yet we do it daily. We need to die to ourselves and rise again on our faith journeys. So even though we might not celebrate Easter Saturday, we should celebrate each time we are faced with difficult times, because that means that God is forming us into the image of Jesus. And when we rise out of those difficult times, like the resurrection, it reveals Jesus to the people around us. Just like Peter's did when he was sinking and Jesus raised him up. In verse 32 and 33, they got back into the boat, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." So just imagine how it could impact the people that you know in your life if they saw you thriving during a difficult time in your life. Thriving not just because it's a difficult time, but because of the hope that you have in God, that he is with us, that he, when we keep our eyes fixed on him, he will bring us through the difficulties and use them to form us into the image of his Son. If we can do that, at the minimum, when we endure, people might see Jesus revealed in our lives. But the ultimate thing that we could see, if we were to do that, is just what we saw in the boat of the disciples. People worshipping Jesus and God as their Lord and Savior. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the fact that when we face difficulties in our life, we are not alone. And Lord, we recognize that you have not created these difficult situations, but you have taken them to be used for your good and your glory. And Lord, as I know every single one of us here this morning has some difficulty that we are dealing with, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us in those situations, that you would help us not to be blinded by the overwhelming difficulty that's ahead of us, by our fear, our uncertainty, but that we would be reminded of your goodness in our life so that we can keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.